Here we go. Here we go. Thank you for listening to Stoop Kids, a Hey Arnold podcast. We're back, baby. That's right. We're back from the dead and ready to suck some blood. Just kidding. Unless. I'm Cody Narveson, and you can find me on Twitter at Cody_BH.
I'm Harry Mack, and you can find me on Twitter at Shiitake Harry.
Woo! I'm Emily Suey. You can find me on Instagram at Emily Suey.
Also with us today in spirit is our big sister and super producer, Jason Defness, who you can find on Twitter at Nintendoofus. You can also keep up with the podcast on Twitter and Instagram at StoopKidsPod. Last night, we said a great many things. You said I was to do the thinking for both of us. Well, I've done a lot of it since then, and it all adds up to one thing. You're getting on that plane with Victor where you belong. Now, you've got to listen to me. You have any idea what you'd have to look forward to if you stayed here? 9 chances out of 10, we'd both wind up in a concentration camp. I'm saying it because it's true. Inside of us, we both know you belong with Victor. You're part of his work, the thing that keeps him going. If that plane leaves the ground and you're not with him, you'll regret it. Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but soon, and for the rest of your life. We'll always have Paris. We didn't have. We lost it until you came back to Casablanca. We got it back last night. When you said you would never leave me, and you never will. But I've got a job to do, too. Where I'm going, you can't follow. What I've got to do, you can't be any part of. Ilsa, I'm no good at being noble, but it doesn't take much to see that the problems of three little people don't amount to a hill of beans in this crazy world. Someday you'll understand that. Now. Here's looking at you, kids, is spelled with a Z. Today we're here to talk about episode 81 of Hey Arnold. For those of you keeping track at home, that is season 5, episode 1, going by production code order. And we're going to start, as we always do, with episode A, which is called Sid the Vampire Slayer. Original air date for this one was March 18th in the year 2000. The Wikipedia-sanctioned episode summary is as follows. Sid thinks Stinky is a vampire. And as we always also do, shouting out the fine folks who made this episode possible. And for episode A, that's Christine Kolosoff. She directed this one, and Michelle Lamoureux got the writing credit. So shout outs all around, and let's kick it off with some top level thoughts about the episode. Harry, let's start with you. What did you think about Sid the Vampire Slayer?
Hey, thanks, Bogey. I mean, Cody. I have a real soft spot in my heart for this episode because I love Sid. I love, in fact, that like Sid is our anxiety king. I think we've talked about before. Just a man who is absolutely crippled by his own outsized imagination and the fears that that imagination constructs for him in his waking life. When I was around 9 years old, I must have had some sort of anxiety disorder that was undiagnosed, but I remember feeling very, very much like Sid, going through life sort of trapped in my own flights of fantasy or horror. In my case, I would do things like watching a relatively scary movie on TV or reading the BFG, the Big Friendly Giant, in school, or watching the movie The BFG in school and becoming absolutely terrified that giants were going to come and steal me from my home. I still sleep as far away from windows as possible whenever I'm sleeping in a bed. That's just a fun fact about me because of the giant with the big long fingernail that's going to come in and scoop you out and then eat you. So that is to say, this is a very strange episode. It's a kind of a weird one to open season 5 with, but I think that like the fact that we know this about Sid already, we know that he is a character who is often very carried away by his own imagination and his own sort of like paranoia, made this episode sing for me better than it would have otherwise. I also just love any episode of Hey Arnold where the entire A-plot is something that is fabricated by the main characters. I feel like that's a pattern that happens over and over again, right? Like, there's Helga and Monkey Nucleosis, there's Sid the Germaphobe, a lot of Sid episodes are like that, actually. And there's something about that that really speaks to the experience of being a kid for me. Just this idea that, like, you sort of, like, the monotony of the everyday is not yet monotonous to you as a kid, mostly because you're going on your own little private adventures like this all the time. Even when they are sort of like scary, and even when they're sort of like too much for you to handle, I even kind of love the symbolism of that, like, this is sort of an escape for Sid from having to deal with a lot of the other like problems of growing up, right? I remember feeling that way too, where I would just sort of like, you sort of like almost become self-aware at a certain point and you start to think like, wow, these like big problems of childhood that I am like making up are maybe sort of made up. But that's not necessarily present in the episode. What is present in the episode is really fantastic Stinky and Sid performances. I was really taken by... first of all, like the going bit that Sid literally found a book that's called How to Show That Your or How to Prove That Your Friend Is a Vampire. He also has like all of these terms for vampire that are so good. Like he keeps like blood sucking fiend, I think like incorporeal phantom, or like hideous ghoul, hideous like creature, lots of different. He's like, oh yeah, I want to prove that my best friend Stinky is in fact a hideous blood-sucking ghast, or whatever he says. He has so many, and I really loved that. And then we get the classic Hey Arnold ending, right, where it's revealed in sort of faux terms that maybe Stinky is, in fact, a vampire. So really a weird energy to bring to this one. Not really like a message-forward episode in the way that a lot of classic Hey Arnold is, except that maybe, you know, like, this is a thing that happens to kids. They get sort of carried away. They get into their own imaginations. I do like that at the end, everybody reconciles, right? Like that Arnold is just kind of okay with Sid. I think that there was an opportunity to maybe shame him, that Sid was afraid of, that they sort of like step away from really quickly. That's good friend points on Arnold's part. But mostly I think that this episode like characterizes something about being a kid really well. And I like it for that, even if it's sort of overall just kind of a zany episode. But I'm really excited to hear what you guys think too.
Yeah. I mean, even that characterization you ended on of this being a zany, I think that's a pretty good descriptor. Fun that we're starting with this one, and even more fun that we are kicking it over to our friend Emily to give her top level thoughts about this episode. Emily, what did you think about this one?
Yeah. Well, thanks for asking. First of all, Cody, I thought this was a pretty spooky start to season 5, and I agree with Harry. I think the energy was like not what I was expecting from the start of the season, season opener here, but definitely a fun one and one that called back a lot of previous episodes, especially where the kids are paranoid or they watch something and then they see it everywhere in their day-to-day life, which I think this episode does a good job of kind of hitting on that message, just like kids being totally engrossed in whatever media they're watching or whatever they're seeing or reading, and then picking up on that in their life at school or at home or wherever, which is like just such a big thing, I think, and for kids and for anyone. Like if you learn a new word, then you see that word everywhere. And so this kind of wraps up that message in the episode. But with fun vampire terminology, as Harry was pointing out, and our king of anxiety, Sid. And I also think he's the king of paranoia, especially like the anxiety for sure. But all of his episodes where he's the main guy, like Sid's Revenge from season 3, I was remembering back to, paranoia seems to like really follow him in a big way and kind of drives his character development and stories. So yeah, I really like this episode. I'm going to take that back. I liked this episode. I didn't absolutely love it or anything, but I thought it was like a pretty fun and unexpected start to the season. And I also just really like vampire stuff. So like love What We Do in the Shadows. Absolutely awesome movie and TV series. It's so laugh out loud funny to me. Interview with a Vampire from back in the day. Twilight, of course, the Twilight series. Can't forget that. I guess listeners, shout out any other vampire TVs or TV shows or movies that you know of, or guys, if you have any that you're thinking of as well. But other things I liked about it, I really liked just the mysterious ending too, where they end on the cliffhanger, because that's how we started the episode, with the guys watching this cliffhanger mysterious vampire movie. So then to end it with Stinky maybe being a vampire, maybe not, maybe he has some sort of special relationship to bats, and his house is kind of a little bit haunted or something, or we're not sure, this is maybe just like a one-off in that realm. But I think it's playful and all about, yeah, just kids being engrossed in what they're watching, and yeah, a fun one, definitely.
Agreed. I had a lot of fun with this episode, and it's fascinating. Harry dubbing Sid the Anxiety King, Emily dubbing him the King of Paranoia. The thing that I came around on, I guess when this episode started up and realizing, oh, this is a Sid episode, this is yet another instance where Sid is going to get humbled. I don't know if he is a humble king, but he is certainly a humbled king, and probably because of how his instances of anxiety and paranoia play against him, and he's that, and maybe not in the Sid specific episodes, but the episodes where Sid is maybe like a second or third tier background or supporting character, he gets a little too big for his britches, and he kind of gets knocked down a little bit. So there's a lot of fun competing energies with Sid as a character, and starting off the season with him is a weird choice, or not even a weird choice, an unexpected choice, but I think a really good and fun one. And this plays up front as a sort of an episode that we got a lot of, maybe season latter parts of season two, but especially season three and season four, where Arnold is sort of, he's taking a back seat. He's not necessarily the sole focus of the thrust of the story, but he is like working with somebody along the way. A lot of times it is him like soothing Sid in some capacity, being like, no, you're just anxious, little buddy. Like, relax. Of a lot of the episodes in retrospect feel like that. And that is what this is as well. But thinking back to, there's a lot of similar energy here from something like the episode where Sid's carved a soap version of Principal Warts. And he thought that was this whole big thing. The Big Gino episode. A lot of those where Arnold is sort of stapled to his side, and they're all very fun. And this episode, this, I guess, instance of that is a little bit different because of all the other sort of tropes that y'all have been getting into, the fact that this is sort of a spooky lead in to season five, and just like little things here and there that are sort of, they play into cartoon, I'll use the term again, kind of tropes, or just like templates, maybe, even if that sounds like a cold phrase, but like I mean it in good faith. But the sort of patterns that we see certain shows and episodes get into, where like the misunderstanding episode in this case, where Sid thinks something and there's a sense of dramatic irony, maybe there's not, but like we get the impression that Sid's probably not a vampire, it's just a series of funny coincidences that'll come to light at the end of the episode, and just like little things where as we go there are I think fun little diversions or exceptions to the rule, where like I'm very sympathetic to bats being like, and other animals being like very demonized animals and like usually representing something very bad in like cartoons, like children's shows, but the fact that like, oh, the bat is kept as a pet, and like Sneaky's talking to it at the end of the episode, it's not like a blood-sucking maniac bat, it's just a regular bat. Bats are really cute in real life, if you've ever seen like a bat's face up close. Shout out to bats, come on the pod. So like little things like that, the tanning bed thing, like a really weird thing to include in this type of episode, this type of story. What else, the it's Stinky saying that blood drives are his favorite type of school function. It's like, what kind of combination of words is that? What kind of a sense is that for some kid to say? And as it's been brought up, the end of the episode playing into that very fun thing, that legitimately very fun thing that Hey Arnold does and other shows do, where it's the whole episode is doing this one particular thing, and the ending as a sort of one-off gotcha gag to the viewers, like, but hey, leaving it open-ended, maybe Stinky is a vampire. You know he's not a vampire, but that is just sort of a fun thing, like a fun little thrill to go out on. Not by any means my favorite episode of Hey Arnold, but as far as like a starting point and considering the sort of all over the place nature that we've, the rough terrain that we've ventured through in parts of season three, especially in season four, you know, some really great stuff, some really rough stuff. Starting a season out like this feels very, very safe and comforting to me. So I like
that. Yeah, I really like comforting. That's a really good phrase. I also think that this episode does something that I feel like a lot of episodes do that I've come to appreciate more on this round of viewing with you guys, which is that, like, I think that they do a really interesting thing where Arnold is on the outside looking in, and he's also supposed to be the, like, obviously the audience surrogate, the audience sort of, like, go-between, even when sometimes that's not actually really accurate, right? Like, I remember always growing up, I was always actually sort of, like, I felt better when another friend of mine was scared of something, right? Or when another one of my friends was freaking out, because then I could sort of play the role of the person who calmed them and the person who helped them sort of like process that. And I really enjoyed doing that, and it helped calm me down. And I wonder if this episode isn't doing something similar, right? Where it's sort of like, look, you might be the Sid, but in this case, you get to feel like the Arnold, and you get to see how Sid is being kind of funny and kind of ridiculous. And maybe next time you're scared by a movie, or next time you have something like this happen where you get sort of carried away, you can remember an episode like this and be like, okay, but like, what is the Arnold telling me right now? And like, can I be the Arnold, right? So there's something kind of comforting about that. I also just really like this as sort of a Friends episode, especially since, which is another sort of classic Hey Arnold thing, it's a dude episode, and then we have a girls episode to follow it. But I just kind of love the idea that like they're so like, everybody in this episode is so like weirdly accepting of each other, right? Like Sid and Stinky, and even to a lesser extent Arnold, they're just kind of weirdos, right? Like Sid and Stinky are two weird guys, and I like that. Like they have to deal with each other's mutual weirdness and the sort of like misunderstandings that come up as a result. And at the end of the day, they're just sort of like, yeah, but that's just kind of the way it is, right? Like, Sid even goes like, you guys must think I'm a real spaz or something. And Arnold goes, pretty much, but that's okay. And there's something like really like joyously like young kid friendship about that, about how like, oh, like you are constantly running into these weird things about each other because you're all in the, like, the process of becoming properly socialized, but you have this incredible ability to sort of forgive and move on and just sort of like take the lumps. And there was something really sweet about that to me too. So a weirdly sweet episode for as funny and as zany as it could be. And I really liked it for both of those reasons too.
I like you calling it a dudes episode because I hadn't thought of it in quite that way. Like I have the other ones that we'll be talking about later. But I was just thinking to the other episodes that this is similar to, and they're also dude episodes. So maybe there's something to that, the anxiety and paranoia and someone like Arnold or one of the other guys, Stinky maybe, or somebody being the stand-in of like the comfort for the guy that's kind of freaking out, which is usually Sid. But just to list off the other episodes I was thinking of, or Cody already mentioned Big Gino from season four. We had Freeze Frame in season two, which was Arnold and Gerald freaking out and thinking that Mr. Green was about to get murdered. And that was also based on them like watching something and taking it to the extreme lengths. And then we also just last season had Headless Cabbie, where a dudes episode, all the guys are out on the town, walking around and, freaking themselves out. Like escalating their scary stories. But Arnold again is playing like that comfort figure to them, where Harold was the one freaking out. Anyway, I just wonder what y'all think about the fact that all of those types of episodes are dude episodes.
Yeah, that's such a great point. And I think we've talked about it before, but like, it's almost like, I wonder if this is intentional, but like, it really does illustrate the gulf in maturity between men and our boys and girls of this age bracket, right? It's like even the A and B episode that we have set up here, it's like A episode, is my best friend Stinky a vampire? That is the scare. That's the consideration that Arnold and Stinky have to deal with, or Arnold and Sid have to deal with. Then immediately in B, it's like, hey, like, am I jealous that my older sister is finding this relationship with another girl, even though I have this complicated relationship with my sister? And what does it mean that I'm jealous, even though I don't really want that relationship? What does that mean about me and how I think about myself? How does it make me feel about my family, right? It's like, that's a much realer consideration. And I think it is like not an accident that like the dude episodes we get in this series are always like, hey, like, is there a headless cabbie in the woods that's like trying to kill us? And then the girls episodes are like, hey, like, what does it mean that I'm starting to perceive myself in this way and perceive my friends in this way? And like, how is that going to change the way that I interact with my friends and with myself? And like, how can I navigate that? Right. It's like one of these things is not like the other. And I really love that discrepancy and the way that it's sort of subtly woven throughout the show, especially between Helga and Arnold.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I like that. The two of you kind of brought us here, and I agree with that sentiment that you just kind of laid out, Harry, and I could feasibly pose the question or like the thesis that I ultimately don't think is correct, at least on this show, but other shows certainly, where like the reason that Gulf exists is because like the showrunners and the writers simply don't want to put girl characters in situations and like setting up this sort of like lower threshold or like lower ceiling of like, these are the emotional arcs that we're going to go on, which like isn't really the case on Hey Arnold. It's just, I mean, like we do have the sort of round table of secondary and tertiary characters. Everybody gets, you know, at least a couple episodes to explore things. We've talked about Helga to death, rightfully, on this show, and like, so we understand all of the nuance and the character development that goes into that character. But you think of somebody like Rhonda, who is a very like confident person, and like, if anything, her episodes are about sort of like learning humility, and like, just, you know, like her episodes go in, you know, a different direction, but those are like very worthwhile emotional journeys. Big Patty, who is a very like self-assured character, like she also like, we don't because of who she's been set up to be and the very important role she plays in the Hey Arnold universe, and you know, the rest of these characters as well, just like we Harold's got the demographic covered of episodes where somebody is screaming and crying to their mommy, and we like, I kid, but yeah, I don't know, I like that. That's, yeah, I mean, I like that this is a conversation we're bringing up, and I think if anything, the 4+ seasons that we've experienced up to this point are a testament as any, and you know, it exhibits A, B, and so on and so forth of like all the ways in which this show does not thankfully go that route. Oh, and I didn't shout out Phoebe. Shout outs to Phoebe. This is a very pro Phoebe podcast, in case people are unaware.
What I really love about Hey Arnold, to sort of go off of that too, is that the show sort of encompasses all of those different myriad experiences of childhood, right? Like, I think that, like, and not just in a gendered way, but in a character specific way, right? Like, we can kind of come to see, like, even beyond the sort of like sillier adventures of guys versus the more serious adventures of girls, there's plenty of both on both sides, right? Because it is character first and gender second, for sure. But also, like, it almost, it doesn't conflate the two, but it grants equal weight to all of them, right? All considerations. It doesn't take any of these kids' problems unseriously. We always see them from their perspectives, and we always get their sort of like reactions to them. And I really like that this is a show that's sort of like, hey, like, we'll meet you where you are, so to speak, and wherever you are, we're not going to talk down to you, right? It's like, if you are at the stage where you're having flights of fancy like this, or if you're around where Helga is, that could be true, and like, no matter where you are on that journey of maturity, that's valid, and you have real concerns and considerations, and we're going to give you some tools to help you with those considerations, right? I really love that, like, I don't mean to say that, like, the sillier episodes are, like, less valuable than the more serious ones, right? I don't feel that way at all. I really love that the show has all of them.
Agreed. Me too. This show just makes me very glad to be P. period. Any
a vampire?
Bum bum bum. Any lingering threads or shoutouts that you have left unexposed, or rather left exposed, like that neck that you have, Harry, that I can see on your webcam. I'm just doing the count from Sesame Street. Shoutouts to Let the Right One In and one of my favorite films of all time, A Girl Walks Home Alone at Night. Two great vampire feature flicks.
I would just say shout outs to Harry and Cody so I can be more specific, but shout out to Cody's vampire voice just now and also calling the bat in this episode cute because it was, and that was a great point. You don't usually see that, but in the cartoon format, it's pretty adorable. And also shout out to Harry for saying that Sid and Stinky had fantastic performances because I love thinking of them as real people in that way that really put it all on the line and crushed it in this episode.
They did, TBH. I would say shout outs to Buffy the Vampire Slayer, I guess. Big fan of that show, even though I'm not a big fan of Joss Whedon at all. Let's see. Shout outs to Thirst, the Park Chan-wook vampire movie from Korea. I'm sure there are a bunch more vampire things that I can't. Blade, really big fan of Blade. Love the Blade movies. Yeah, shout outs to vampires. Oh, shout outs to, I think that if Stinky was a vampire, it would explain a lot. That's all I'm going to say. I'm not going to theorize anymore one way or the other, but I would just say, you know, you think about some aspects of his personality, the fact that it seems like he's been around for a long time. He talks about the Peterson family. Are we not sure that that might just be one Peterson who seems to be existing across a rather long timeline? I'm just saying, maybe Sid was onto something. You do the math and get back to us.
Totally fair. Even though my prevailing theory is that Stinky has such a big focus on family because he is low-key part of the Fast and Furious universe. What say you, Emily?
Wait, I was just remembering his catchphrase is "That really bites." Also, a vampire phrase.
Oh my god!
Maybe that was the crumb that started this episode.
The truth is out there. I'm just saying, all right? Emily's collaborating with some very compelling evidence. I'm just saying. So, you know, viewers, listeners out there, I think you know what the truth is.
The truth can be frightening, and speaking of frightening, the sun is just coming up, which is my cue to take a nap. So stick around, and we'll be back after the break. Welcome back to Stoop Kids, a Hey Arnold podcast. We've got episode 81B up next here, and that episode is called Big Sis. Original air date, March 18th, 2000. The Wikipedia-sanctioned episode summary is as follows. Olga gets into a Big Sis program, but her little sis is Lila. And once again, shouting out the folks who made this episode possible. Christine Kolosov is back directing this episode B as well. Also, Michelle Lamro is back co-writing alongside Dawn Hershey, who is only the second time we've seen Dawn Hershey on the show from a credited writer perspective. The other credited episode was Preteen Scream. So it's been a little while. Welcome back to the program, Dawn Hershey. Again, shout outs all around. Let's start with Emily this time. Emily, what did you think about Big Sis?
Yeah, I really like this episode, and I'm not going to take it back. I think this is an awesome look at Helga and Olga's relationship again, which we have seen multiple times, but I think this is kind of showing it still in a new way a little bit. And yeah, I'll just go through my notes for my own sake here. So I really loved the backgrounds in this one. I think we have some really pretty backdrops, especially really like the ending where they kind of freeze frame on them on that river in the boat and the big bridge and ginormous moon above them. But yeah, a lot of really good background shots. But what I like so much about the plot here is just Lila and Olga, these two characters, we've never put them together before. And they make so much sense together There's such like, yeah, just they have a huge personality overlap. They have a lot in common. The way they talk to each other and relate to each other, just like similar way of communicating. And so I think the writers really play into that too, and they play it up because they become really insufferable in a way that like gives sympathy to Helga's position here in this episode, because she's in a tough spot with this one. So yeah, basically Lila and Olga are set up to be in a like big sis, little sis program. And Olga has been away for a really long time and is now back, bursting through the door, shoving Helga aside as she walks in, and her parents, or I even said her parents, oh no, their parents, that both of the sisters, see, that's what this show's done to the characters. Their parents are just excited to see Olga, and that when Helga walks in the door, they're like, oh, it's just you. Okay. Whereas we're waiting for Olga with bated breath. But anywho, that all happens. And so we see where Helga is at, as far as her sister relationship and the family goes. And the fact that they have Lila and Olga set up as the big sis, little sis is just really tough on her. So she gets mad jealous. She schemes up a storm. We've seen her do so many schemes in the series, and now we're kicking off some of the most badass schemes, I guess, now that we're in season 5. She really goes hard in this episode, and it made me think a lot about what Harry has said before and what we've all talked about with, like, when Helga goes in on her evil plans and schemes, it's almost like the universe then conspires against her and thwarts all of those plans, like the law of karma at play. And it also made me think a lot about the Love and Cheese episode, where you can't really, like, and that was a Lila Arnold and Helga situation where she's scheming against Lila and Arnold. In that episode, we kind of talked about how you can't really keep a connection from happening between people if it's just, if people have a history or a connection or care for each other, love each other, have chemistry, whatever, you can't really interfere with that in some sense. Like there's some amount of connection there, human connection, that's like just sacred and untouchable. At least I want to believe that is the case. And I think this episode shows that and also shows how hard this is on Helga, and kind of gives sympathy to why she's behaving so terribly to conspire against them. But yeah, I think they wrote this one really well to kind of give the nuance to each of the characters and to just make it really funny that Lila and Olga together are completely insufferable. Like good intentioned maybe at times, or at least on Lila's side, but just really hard to put up with when they're together. And then lastly, I wanted to say that the very end, Olga says night sailing, and then she says it again, and then they are out there on a boat and on the river at night. And night sailing is like a playlist I made years ago in the pandemic, just thinking about, wow, wouldn't it be nice to have a playlist of bedtime songs that are all like chill as if I'm on a boat at night. And it was just a phrase it was like blew me away to hear Olga in this show saying it, and then them being out on the water. They weren't really in a sailboat, I guess, either, but they were essentially night sailing, I would say. So follow my playlist on Spotify. And also, yeah, they have Moonlight Bay, which is, I thought, a nice callback to the Gerald's Tonsils episode, where he crushed it at the school performance of that song. And yeah, I like the freeze frame at the end, and I want to hear everyone else's thoughts.
Yeah, for sure. Thank you for that, Emily. Oh, sorry, really quick. I'm glad that I was really glad to hear your feedback about the or your input for the night sailing bit, because I thought Olga was just misremembering or misquoting the REM song at Night Swimming. I have no idea if that reference holds water with our listener base, but I figured I would just float it out there. Over to you, Harry. What did you think about this episode?
I think night sailing sounds a lot more romantic than night rowing. Night rowing just kind of sounds like a lot of work, huh? And maybe kind of sweaty. Not into that. But night sailing, that sounds wonderful. I'll definitely check out that podcast, our podcast playlist, Emily. I was thinking about our podcast while I said that. Yeah, I really like this episode. It feels very, very last season-y to me in the sense that, like, there's a really marked progression of this character arc, right? Like, I think that, like, I love that Olga is so well known now that we can leverage her with this little shorthand, that the characters are so well established that we know exactly what their dynamics are going to be, and we get to see that progression take place. Helga is a lot more self-aware in this episode than she had been in earlier seasons, and I think that that is a good indication of her maturity. I love the way that this episode utilizes Arnold as, again, the way that he is when he's not the main focus of the episode, which is this almost like supernatural angel on Helga's shoulder, where like he literally just appears randomly in this episode and she's like, ah, Arnold. And he's just like, don't you think you should do moral of the episode? And she's just like, ah, like buzz off, hair boy or whatever. I love that. I love their dynamic there. I love that he has become this sort of like reluctant on both sides, mentor advisor to the protagonist Helga. I love that for both of them. I was going to bring this up too. So Emily, thank you. I think we get a lot of really great like matchup episodes this time around. And I think that like Lila and Olga is such a no-brainer. I can't believe that I never thought of it. I swear I could hear like the sitcom cheers when Olga opens the door and there's Lila, and you realize that Lila's going to be the little sister. It's so funny to me because it's like, oh, like they know what we're here for. Like they know that we wanted this. And then I think that this episode shows a lot of like the Hey Arnold characteristic sympathy that I like so much for all of Helga's reactions here, right? Like I think that Helga, she behaves in a very backward way because she won't sort of like own up to her own emotions as she usually does. And though the universe literally punishes her for being dishonest, the show doesn't, right? Like, I think that the show, it has a lot of sympathy for Helga being jealous despite what she says. It has a lot of sympathy for her wanting to hide the fact that she's jealous. And then finally, it even has sympathy for, or it allows for that jealousy to exist and be genuine, while also showing that it doesn't sort of like, it doesn't cancel out the reasons why Helga didn't want to be jealous or the reasons why she doesn't get along with Olga. All of those things can exist at once, right? It's like, I really love that last scene where she's like, what was I thinking, when she's out night sailing with them? Because it's like, yeah, you're right. Like, Helga and Olga will never get along that way because they're very different people, and they are legitimately different people. And like, that's okay. And it's okay for Helga to like wish that she could have a relationship like she does with Olga, and for it to be a relationship that's more on her terms, or to realize that she's just never going to have that type of relationship with Olga in general. I really think that there's some good nuance to that relationship between the two characters. And, I think that like, it's really nice that Hey Arnold has the grace to allow, Helga to experience that full spectrum of emotion without judging her for any manifestation of it. Because it's like, it's such a human and recognizable feeling, especially like, Emily brought up, like, this is such a Helga POV episode where like, Olga and Lila are so over the top in this episode. It's almost like Arnold seeing Arnie, right? Where it's like, how is it possible that human beings could actually be this annoying? And so it's done for comedic purposes in the episode, and I really like that. But I also really like that from sort of like a thematic perspective, like we're seeing how Helga feels about these two, right? And we get to feel that. We get to feel her sort of like outsider's gaze. For a show that always or almost always does right by Helga, I just really liked that about it. So, yeah, I really like this episode. I think it's like a really good canonical addition to the Helga-Olga relationship, complicated and nuanced as it is. And you know me, I love a Helga episode. So I was definitely 100% here for this one.
Of course, whomst among us does not love a Helga-centric episode? Usually, yeah. I liked this episode too. Shocker. This was a really good pairing to kick the season off on. And I think, Emily, as you mentioned, the fact that we haven't had this particular pairing on the show yet, the Olga Lila team up, like, how has that not happened by this point? The fact that we are in, I'll just say the fifth season. I'm not going to say the final season. This is me etching that in stone for the rest of the season. We're going to say the fifth season. It's wild that even in the fifth season of the show that they're still finding different, like, team-ups that we haven't done yet, all the different, yeah, like, permutations of characters intersecting with one another and, you know, having stories together. That's a lot of fun. Also a lot of fun, this as... I didn't realize we would start season five off so abruptly with another Olga episode. And so that, like, fight or flight instinct kicked in. But this did feel like, you know, to what you two were saying about this episode and the show having a tremendous amount of, like, sympathy and, like, softness towards Helga with regards to everything that she's going through, the familiar relations, the relationship with her sister. This episode almost felt like the show just being like, look, we're done yanking your chain. This is never going to be any different. And Helga says as much to Olga up top, like, things are always going to be like this. Let's try and have some fun with this. Let's see it. Like, let's make this into, like, one of the classic Helga Caper episodes, where not necessarily that all those episodes are bangers. I'm thinking about You, the O pair episode of Hey Arnold. But the schemes that Helga pulls, the like cosmically coincidental, like, upturns that happen for Olga and Lila as a result of Helga trying to interfere. I think both of you already characterized that better than I am, so I won't go too far down that road. But all of that was a lot of fun. The like, the show getting to a point with this particular sub narrative of Helga trying to reconcile the relationship she has with her sister, and just, like, getting to the point where we feel comfortable enough seeing her, like, in a hushed whisper go Lila, sung to the tune of, like, Jerry saying Newman on Seinfeld. Like, it felt very emblematic of that. And, you know, even towards the, like, the end of the episode, heading into the final minute and a half, when they are night sailing and Helga has that very sweet conversation with Olga, that nice confrontation, it's a really good moment. Helga thinks, hey, maybe this won't be so bad after all. Just, like, match cut to her in the dorkiest sailing costume known to man. That got a really big laugh out of me. Really, really good, like, wink from the show, just being like, yeah, hey, again, it is what it is. This is not going to get better for Helga, but again, we're going to try and have some fun with this. And I'm glad they did. And I'm glad that, like, on Olga's side as well, like, kind of seeing the whole idea of Olga thinking she is such a good sister that she's going to take her talents to South Beach, guys. like, she's going to be a big sister to somebody else because she's so good to being, so good to being an older sister to her biological younger sister. I mean, we very well know that that's not the case. I don't know if that was the intent or not, but I found some nice irony in that. And, like, we can tell from a mile away that Olga is just, you know, such a fake person. Her talking about her cinematic studies class, where all they did was watch, like, American dramas and get sad all the time. That's, come on. That's, you're a fake fan. Olga is fake as they could be. But she did remember that organizing the trading card excuse that Helga put forth. So I don't know, like, little glimmers of hope that the show is quick to squash. But overall, I really liked where we ended up. I feel content, even if Helga is not entirely content with the situation. I thought this, as has been said, a nice chapter to add on to the, you know, the saga of Helga and Olga.
Yeah, I really like you talking about the irony of Olga's character and how she's playing into this perfect big sis for someone who's not her actual sister. I was thinking a lot about her character in this one too, and in previous episodes. I think I've given her more credit than I've needed to, actually, as a character, because thinking on the episode of it's maybe the Helga on the couch, where they have the flashback and they're saying I was going, yeah, Olga's, you know, giving a concerto to the orphanage today or something to that effect as a characterization to the therapist of her sister. And yeah, I think Olga is very much a perfectionist, but also this phoniness that's coming out like over the top. Like, who? What are you trying to do here, Olga? What are you trying to prove? Are you giving a, like, is a concerto needed at the orphanage, or is that just a way of like saying, "Oh, I'm an amazing person because I play music for orphans"? You know what I mean? Just thinking about her character more, and yeah. So also very funny the irony of the fact that she can be a perfect, amazing, incredible big sister to someone who isn't her sister here. Really sad for Helga in this one.
Yeah, I think that you guys both sort of start to get at a characterization that maybe the show has only started to dip its toes into the water of, but one that I think is really funny, which is that like Helga's home life has always been really sad and really funny, but it's never been sort of like Dickensian in the way that and like almost melodramatic the way that it is now, where like by now Helga's home life is so well established that it's ridiculous, right? Like and to the point that it's absurdly funny, right? Like the amount of injustice that Helga has to swallow down is ridiculous at this point. And as sort of dark as that is, it's also like kind of a really funny way to characterize that, and kind of like a comforting way to characterize that, because it's like, Olga's a good big sister. What about me? Right? Like, I think that the irony that's central to this episode is supposed to be that funny, right? It's like, Olga, come on now. Like, and you think that this little speech at the end where you say that we'll always have a relationship, that's supposed to make up for it? It's like, no, like we're on Helga's side in this episode. And I think that somebody's got to be on Helga's side. And so like, I'm glad it's the viewer. I really love that energy for this episode and for Helga in general as sort of like this person who like is going to see things the way they are and sort of a perfect cynical, pessimistic counterpoint to our eternally optimistic sunshine boy, Arnold. And I think we need both. And so I'm kind of glad that we get the yin and the yang there.
Eternal sunshine boy. Yes. And I just was remembering, too, as you're saying on that note, of how funny it is like, because of how over the top it is in this episode. The ending is so funny. I guess Cody pointed it out as well. But just the fact that Olga's like, okay, Helga, you know what? You can come with us. Join us at night sailing. It'll be wonderful, magical, and fantastic evening. And then Helga's sitting there in the outfit for like 1 second and jumps overboard and swims away. And those two are just singing Moonlight Bay together without realizing that Helga has fully swam off the shore and is no longer with them. Very funny,
yeah.
Really good ending, and Helga's had enough, and it's like, it shows you, though, too, it's okay that Helga and Olga are not, you know, alike, are two totally different people, and they're not going to have a relationship like maybe Olga and Lila can, but that's okay, and it's funny when it's so over the top and exaggerated like it is in this one.
Yeah, the one thing I did want to plant a seed for with regard to just like things to keep an eye out for this season, that ending note, because I thought there was something wrong with they're not getting free ad space, but like Hulu dumped Hey Arnold, and so we had to watch these on Paramount Plus. I thought it was an issue with like, oh, new platform, they really drop the ball on like wrapping up this episode effectively, because like the credits go or whatever and the frame holds and it's Lila and Olga standing in the boat, but no, it's just Craig and friends playing a really good joke on us, holding them still, being like, oh, oopsie doodle, where's Helga? I wonder if there will be more. Pushing the envelope is a little too strong, but those sort of unconventional gags that we're not potentially used to, as I'm not going to keep drawing attention to it, but you know, as we near the end of this thing, I wonder if there will be other things that, I mean, we already saw a number of things in season 4 where it's like they are not holding anything back, or they are pulling way fewer punches. I wonder if there's anything else similar to this on a smaller scale or maybe a bigger scale that they're just like, we think this is funny or we think this is valuable. Now is our time to get it in. A 30-second hold still joke while we tease the end of the episode. And then they're like, oh, where's Helga? Hey, I don't know. I'm all for it. I don't know. You can flag me as an outcast, but I like to laugh. I don't know. Hot take. I like things that are funny. So bring it on, Craig and friends.
I like that you're building hype for season five. We should do more of that. I'm excited. I can't wait to see what happens in season five and how they continue to push the envelope. I mean, next episode, we get to see everybody's dads. It's wild. It's a little spoilers for next time, dedicated listeners.
I guess. Get to see all the daddies. For sure. Sorry, you go, Emily.
I like all of those notes, and I was ready for shout-outs. But I also, definitely going to be looking for these artistic flourishes in season five. I like that thought, Cody. For my shout-outs, I want to shout out the Eternal Sunshine Boy for flying a kite in the park. Very nice that he's just chilling by himself flying a kite. And that's Arnold I'm obviously talking about. And also shout out to Helga's all black outfit with the black beanie, black sweater, all black. She's got the black paint under her eyes. It's her truest tomboy look. It's like it really sings for me. I love to see it.
Me too. I also love to see it. Harry, any lingering shout outs from you? Did we cover everything that you wanted to cover?
Shout out
what's the final word
to Helga's curls in the night sailing. You know, I think she looks good. I understand why she doesn't want them, but I think she looks good.
Brutal. Yet a beautiful sentiment, and I think a good one to go out on as we wrap up the first episode of season five. Thank you, dear listener, for listening to Stoop Kids, a Hey Arnold podcast. You can find us on Twitter. You can follow us rather on Twitter. I feel like I usually say follow. I'm not going to change that up anytime soon. I feel like it's good juju. You can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Stoop Kids Pod, and that's kids with a Z. This episode was produced by super producer Jason Defness, and you can find him on Twitter at Nintendoofus. I've been Cody Narveson. You can find me on Twitter at Cody_BH.
I've been Harry Mack, and you can find me on Twitter at Shiitake Harry.
And I've been Emily Suey. You can find me on Instagram at Emily Suey.
And now, if you'll excuse us, we really do need to end the episode. I'm afraid we've experienced some technical difficulties.